Let's say our year verse together, shall we? Very good, very good. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, where that year verse is. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We decided to punctuate the preaching calendar year this year with several messages on our year verse. And so this is one of those moments. Next week, we begin a new series in the pastoral epistles. Today, here we are, 1 Samuel chapter 3. So that's where we're headed this morning. Now this. Thank you, young people. Classic non-listening goes well with our text this morning, doesn't it? Hopefully in contrast to it. Who said that? Who said that? Blake, I'll see you in the principal's office. Oh my, we should just go now, don't you think? In dramatic contrast, young Samuel. Let's read 1 Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. Word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. And it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel! So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But Eli answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord did speak, profoundly so, as we covered in our February retreat. We chose this as our year verse because we understand that God has something to say, not just to Samuel, but to us as well. And we want to hear it. Eli told young Samuel how to hear from God. What did Eli tell Samuel that could help us hear from God? That's what we want to discover today. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, you are the Word made flesh. You are that one through whom God has been speaking. This is your Word. We invite you to speak to us in ways that only you can. Help me sufficiently get out of the way so that you can do the speaking this morning. We invite you to show us your power by your Spirit through your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Why did Eli need to tell Samuel these things? Why did Eli need to tell these things to Samuel? Because God wanted to say something to Samuel. He wanted to talk with him. But this was all new to Samuel. He was unaware that God wanted to speak to him. So Eli gave him much needed instruction. Our year verse begins with, Speak, Lord. Amazingly, God, the creator of the universe, speaks. As we peer out into space from our little planet orbiting one star, out of 300 billion stars, they say, in our galaxy alone, and out of perhaps 2 trillion galaxies out there, each of those dots is not a star but a galaxy. Over these distances that we try to fathom and measure in light years, the creator and sustainer of all of this speaks. The Lord, Yahweh, the eternal I am. Can you fathom that he speaks and he has something to say to us? This God, this Yahweh, this eternal creator, who put all of this in motion and has to be much, 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 much smaller than he. The God of the universe, who came down on Mount Sinai in the thick cloud, lightning flashes, the rocks were splitting, heavenly trumpet was blasting, the earth was quaking violently. Smoke ascended, it says, like a furnace. And he spoke to those people. And he has spoken to us, and he speaks yet again to us. We do well to assume a posture of humility. Speak, Yahweh. Speak, Lord. for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for. Speak, Lord, because. Because why? Why are we entreating him to speak to us? On what basis? We're entreating to him to speak to us. Speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. Here's the relationship. He's the master. He's the king. He's the boss. He's the Lord, the Yahweh, eternal. He's in charge. I'm the servant. He has the plan. He directs it. I do it. He's the Lord, Yahweh, eternal. I'm the servant. This is where most people get off the bus. Because they're unwilling, frankly, to be the servant to Yahweh. Unwilling to bend the knee, to surrender their own goals, their ambitions, their resources, their energies. Unwilling to release their grip on certain things. It might not even be material. It might be a reputation, a career, maybe. They're unwilling to yield their will. It goes against everything in us, doesn't it, to yield and to be the servant, even to the Most High God. Yet, says the verse, because I choose to recognize you as Lord and me as your servant, I invite you to speak. Speak, Lord, because your servant, that's me, is listening. I choose a posture of humility before you. We are not equals. I get that. Speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. Do you know something? Many want God to speak to them, to give them guidance and direction. I need a word. But they do not come in humility, and they wonder why God does not answer them, why he doesn't speak. Your servant, Lord, is listening. Is listening. Some versions say, hears, your servant hears. Why did Eli tell Samuel to say, your servant is listening? I mean, of course Samuel's listening. He just heard his name called out and he ran to Eli 3 times. Of course he's listening. No, Eli told Samuel to say to the Lord, your servant is listening. In those words, is listening, implicit is focused, attentive listening. I want to catch every word, every detail of what you're saying. Every nuance, every shade of meaning. You've had situations where you have hung on every syllable. Often as we're parting from a loved one, we want to hear every. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Focused, attentive listening. When our children were very small and it was time to get ready for bed, we'd say, look at me, look at me. We had to get their eyeballs. Go use the bathroom, brush your teeth, get your jammies on. If we didn't have eyeballs before they were halfway across the living room, it was all gone, right? You parents know the drill, don't you? Focused, attentive, listening is what Samuel was saying to the Lord. Your servant is listening. Implicit also is listening with intent to obey, ready and planning to obey. It's different, that kind of listening, isn't it? We often want to hear what God has to say, and then we'll decide if we'll do it. No, that's not what this is. This is listening with a predisposition already baked in, the intent to obey. You want to know something? God does not obligate himself to speak to people who are merely curious about what he has to say. Rarely, if ever, does he speak to people who will only take his input under advisement, to people who want to see if they like what he has to say before they decide whether. Have you known God to expend the effort and the energy on that kind of person who is not seriously intent on obeying whatever? It all goes back to that Lord and servant thing, does it? In fact, test me on this. We have instances in the Bible where people play games with God. They ask for the counsel of the Lord, but they don't intend to do it, and God answers in kind. He sends a deceiving spirit to them. You want to play games with me? I'll let you know how that works out. You're the Lord. I'm the servant. You speak, I'm listening. There's an implied yieldedness, at least a willingness to be brought along to yieldedness. We don't always have it always just right, do we? But if there's at least a willingness to move in that direction to what the Lord says, oh, the Lord loves to welcome that kind of person's prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Have you and I ever said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, but not sure it was all that genuine, our willingness to do what he said? Well, there's something else that is part of listening. And for that, I'm going to ask Russ to share. Russ?
Most of you know I'm a retired band director and elementary music teacher. There was an important word that I put on the board near the beginning of the school year, and we keep writing it up there from time to time. If the students would listen, then our intonation and rhythmic
it's okay.
It's called retrograde.
At least we know they were listening. Okay. Or watching.
So that word was on the board. I would ask them to respell that, and they would come up with something called silence. So the letters are the same, but again, when they listen carefully, the precision improved. We got the desired result. I could just be conducting and say, listen, and I think it would tighten up and it would sound better. So I think listening caused people to be silent at times, and that caused us to focus, to be still, and to focus on what we were trying to achieve.
What happens when they weren't silent? The flip side, right?
Yeah, the flip side.
Uh-huh. It all went upside down, didn't it?
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Okay.
Great. Thank you, Russ. Habakkuk 2:20 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. I think you and I would agree there's an awful lot of noise in our lives. Could I invite you to tell me what's some of the noise in our lives? Doesn't have to be sin, it just is noise. What's some of the noise in our lives that keeps us from being able to hear the Lord? You have anything you want to suggest? Yeah, John?
Phones.
Phones, telephones.
Busyness.
What?
Busyness.
And the rest of y'all are good?
Friendships.
Good things, right? But sometimes those friendships just are so engrossing to us that it doesn't leave room for us to be silent and listen. What else?
Overcommitments.
Excellent. Good things, probably. Hank?
A different form of business, which is always having to do something.
Oh, the need to always be doing something. Do, do, do. Good, good. None of us are afflicted with that either, I'm sure.
Our worries and our
cares, they create a noise within our hearts and our minds that just really can be distracting to being able to listen to the Lord. Yes? I didn't hear it.
Brothers.
And that's how it started. Excellent, Sylvia. Who else wants to say sisters?
Not sisters, but kids. I mean, for a mom especially, when the kids are awake, they're just drawn to her, and it's hard for her to get away and have some quiet time.
So mom's just the busyness of kids. Nothing wrong. They're the blessing of the Lord, but it can happen, right? Somebody else had a hand up.
Regrets.
How do regrets become noise, Lindsay?
Worries.
Yeah. Or opportunities missed that you can't ever go back and get, and you just are plagued by that. And yeah.
Bitterness or unforgiveness.
Oh, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, playing those tapes over and over and over and over again. And I mean, you read about that, right? A critical or judgmental spirit can be a noise that we just cannot get past that and hear the Lord speaking. Emily?
Grief,
strife, brothers, sisters not dwelling together well.
Physical pain.
Physical pain, absolutely. Can just kind of change everything, can't it? How about the opinions of others? Ah, that can be a noise, right? It can be annoying noise, all right? I suggest that we ask the Lord to show us what the noise is in our lives that keeps us from hearing Him. Like Jesse said, it could be children, the blessing of the Lord, but is that become something that is stripping me of the silence that I need before the Lord? What else does the word listen communicate? I think it communicates that I'm not doing all the talking. Now, is that how we approach the Lord in prayer? Well, not really, because somebody's got to talk and he's not talking, so we talk, and we talk more and talk more, and pretty soon we did all the talking. And it was not so much listening. Notice the tense, listening, hears. That's a continuous thing, isn't it? It's ongoing. So we don't get that listening to God on Sunday mornings only. It appears that we're supposed to be having that prayer ongoing. Well, we'll talk about some more of that now. Since we're not young Samuels being reared in the temple, how does God speak to us? If I just got done saying we shouldn't do all the talking, how actually do we hear God speak? How are we going to hear Him? Well, the first one is obvious, but not so obvious sometimes. It's His Word, the Word of God, the Bible. There are times in my life where I'm quite distressed, discouraged, downcast. Everything seems to be unraveling. There are times when I need to know what to do for some upcoming situation, times when I need perspective. There may be all kinds of flavors of these, and more in one instance than another. I just don't know which end is up. I don't even have the strength in those moments or the keenness of mind to even know where in this Bible I should go to find the answers to my situation. So I have learned something. I just open the Bible and I start reading, and I take in large quantities of the Word. I usually find myself in narrative. 1 Samuel, just keep going. 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, keep just Job, whatever. And I just read, and the Gospels, and I read, and I read. And here I am in my distress or discouragement or downcast or lacking perspectives and answers. I don't do a study. I just read. I just let the Word wash over me. You know that phrase, the washing of the water of the Word. And here's what amazingly happens. God speaks to me in my situation. Now, He didn't say on the backside of Ezekiel, here's what you need to do, Paul, concerning your... He didn't say that. But He spoke just the same to my situation. And not because I'm somebody special either. And not because I knew where to go in the Word with reference to my situation. No. What it is, it happens again and again and again, and it'll happen for you. It's the miracle of the Word of God being illumined by the Spirit of God and brought to bear on the life of a child of God. Do you know it almost doesn't matter where in God's Word you go? I have gone to Leviticus in times like that, and you go, really? And the Lord spoke to me and met me there and gave me some insight, and it didn't come in 10 minutes. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. This, friends, is His primary means of communication to us. If we don't want to be the one doing all the talking, let Him do the talking, right? And just let Him wash over you. Read and read, and He'll speak. He promises that if you seek Him with all your heart, you'll find Him. Nobody ever came to the Lord with that kind of attention, attentiveness, and desire for Him to speak in a servant mindset. Nobody ever came to Him and left empty. That's just who God is. It's not that we're smart enough to figure anything out. Okay, here's a question. If I'm praying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, am I doing my part to hear Him speak? Am I waiting for that dream to come in the middle of the night, or am I just saying, well, there it is, right there? And I just say, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. And I'm just going to read. He went to a lot of effort to put this all together, to preserve it from all the knuckleheads down through history that have tried to destroy it. He went to a lot of effort to inspire holy men of God so that you and I could have what He... And so the least we can do is let Him speak to us. Number two, how does the Lord speak to us? By His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, always underscores the Word of God. 12 or 15 years ago, I took a personal retreat up to the mountains of North Carolina. I was distressed. I was particularly distressed about Woodland Hills Community Church. It just wasn't growing like I thought it should. I was troubled about this issue and that one. I was frustrated about one thing and another. So I went on this retreat. I was up on the mountain camping. And I went to bed with a plan. The next morning, I was going to get up before dawn so that I could hike the 45 minutes or so to the very top of the mountain. I was going to be there when the sun came up, and I was going to pour out my heart to the Lord, all of these things. And so that's what I did. I started walking in the dark. I planned to stay up there on the top of that mountain and seek Him and stay there till I had some answers. Well, the next morning, I got up. Like I said, it was about a 45-minute hike up to the top. So I started walking. And as I walked, this scripture, whatever it was, came to me. And the scripture was, "Give thanks to the Lord." Well, that's a good thing. That's obviously from the Lord. So I began to thank the Lord. In particular, since I was up there distressed about Woodland Hills Community Church and whether we had a future and whether this and that and the other. And I began to thank the Lord for everything that I could think of regarding Woodland Hills. And I did. And I thanked Him for this and then for that and for you and for you and for... And I hiked those 45 minutes and I got to the top. And I still had more things to thank Him for. I wasn't making any requests. I was only looking at what came to my mind. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was prompting these things. And everything was thankworthy. And I just kept thanking Him. I think I thanked the Lord between the walk and when I was at the top of the mountain. I think I thanked the Lord for about 2 hours without repeating myself. I don't think I have the capacity to do that, but the Lord enabled that. He was teaching me something. I was still clueless. I think the beautiful sunrise came and went because I was so engrossed in thanking the Lord for so much good that He was doing and that was in place here at Woodland Hills. Well, the sun had risen fully. And as I said, I had had 2 hours or so of things to thank the Lord for. And I kind of came to the point where I just kind of finished. Didn't have anything more that just came to my mind to thank Him for. And the Spirit of God, almost audibly, not audibly, but almost audibly said to me, "Now what was it you're up here for?" I just fell to my knees. I said, "I got it all wrong, Lord." I didn't think of those words then, but I should have said, "I'm the servant, You're the Lord." I just had it all wrong. I got down on my knees, and what I did say was some of what Job said. "I have declared what I did not understand. I lay my hand over my mouth. I retract and I repent in dust and ashes." You see, when you give the Lord the opportunity to put this into your heart, and the Spirit of God resides within you, and you are in one of those places like I was, and you will be if you're not now, you will, there's more coming. The Spirit of God sweeps in with His word to speak to your need, and it might be on the backside of Leviticus. Are we letting Him do the talking? There's more. How does God speak? He speaks by those in spiritual authority. Hebrews 13, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning." Friends, this is a largely untapped resource in our day and time. It seems to me, Barb, when we were young, that we were often asking our pastor and the elders, "What do I do in this case? How do we navigate this? And what should we..." Give me some advice. Somehow this subject came up in one of our recent elders' meetings, and we all concurred, yeah, people just don't ask for advice these days too much. But it's a resource there for how we can know. It's not number one. It's not number two. It's down the list. And it always needs to concur with the Word of God. Be careful about that so that you're not drinking pink lemonade someday in South America, if you know that story. How else? By godly counsel. Not maybe a spiritual authority, but a godly person. A godly saint who's been walking with the Lord, who's traveled. Seek those out. And remember the order. This is number four. Don't start here. Don't start with number three. Start with number one. And remember, godly counsel is never, never going to contradict His Word. It tries. Counsel does. You go seeking. You shall surely not die, said one. Does it contradict this? Is it twisting God's word? Is it minimizing or redefining sin, that voice of counsel that you went to hear? Get out of Dodge in a hurry. Make sure they're godly counseling that underscore the word and never undermine the word. Now, about this time, how does God speak to us in our day and time? I draw this dotted yellow line because we're getting on kind of shaky territory from here on down. Not completely, but a little bit. You'll know what I mean. Because number five is, how does God speak to us? By circumstances, by inner peace, by dreams, and by signs. Remember the order. This is number five, and it's below that yellow line. You know what? Often Christians put number five as number one. That's wrong. Don't go there. These are confirming factors. These will confirm what's here and the Holy Spirit's interpretation. Don't go to number five first. Leave it in number five. They must never go against the word. If they go against the word, you already know what? It's not from the Lord. Let me tell you about a man with a dream. Some of you here know him. This man with a dream, his dream said that he should marry a certain woman, he told me. That woman I happened to know, Barb knew her. We'd met with her. We'd had a meal or two together. She was not a believer. She was kind of quasi-spiritual. She was not a believer. And I said so to this man. And this man said, but I got to marry her because of the dream. And he wasn't open to hearing otherwise. I said, that dream is not from God. God says right here, you must not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. You must not do that. He said, I have to do what the dream said. By God's grace, God intervened and spared him, not because he was doing the right thing, but because God just intervened and he didn't marry that woman. It would have been so tragic if he had taken a dream. And listen, if that dream was opposed to what's here, then who do we know the source of that dream is? The enemy of our souls. Got to keep it in line. Let me tell you about a circumstance. A few months ago, my phone rang, and the voice on the other line said, hi, I'm so-and-so. Do you own a certain piece of property on such and such a road? And I said, yeah. Would you be willing to sell it? Well, maybe, I don't know. Would you be willing to meet with me? I said, yeah, I got some time at lunch. This was like an hour and a half, hour later. So we met over there. He looked at it. He took a tour of it. And he made an offer. I've never had anything like that happen. And I said to myself, and I came home and said it again to Barb, Lord, is this you? Now the temptation when things like that happen to say, Lord, this is you. No. You want to say, Lord, is this you? And does it stack up? Does it stack up here? Does it stack up to Holy Spirit working through His Word? Lord, is this you? Well, the deal didn't go through. But something happened in that. All of a sudden, I was willing to sell the property, and I had never been willing to sell the property before, and I think that's why the Lord brought that about. The man was a believer, there's nothing wrong with anything, but he decided to change his mind, and I said, well, maybe I should entertain that. And so I think that's what the Lord wanted, was for me to be willing to sell that. But remember now, remember the order. Circumstance is way on down the list, and it's under the dotted yellow line. When you go under that dotted yellow line, all your antennae are up, they're buzzing. Careful, careful, careful. Remember our buddy, what's his name? Be very careful. Elmer Fudd, be very careful when you're down below the yellow line, okay? All right, how about peace or lack of peace? Oh, friends, this one gets too much airtime in Christian circles. What's the first avenue of God speaking? His word. What number are we on? We're on number 5, subpoint C. Be careful. But you know, here again, often people put peace or lack of it as first, ahead of this. Danger, danger, danger. Satan can deceive you on this. He can deceive you with too much acidity in the meal you just had. He can do it in so many other ways that are not physical. Put the word first. Peace or lack of peace should confirm, not be the other way around, okay? Careful, careful, careful. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious for anything. By prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What's the preface? By prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. I think that implies you're all over the word as you're making your requests and your supplications and your thanksgivings, what he has done. But to prove my point, a couple verses down in verse 9, 4, 9, it says, or 8, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these, and the things you have learned and heard and seen in me, the Apostle Paul, practice those things, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, you could not have been around the Apostle Paul and not be practicing what he practiced and heard and received and seen in him without it being totally immersed in the Word of God. So I think even there, the peace of God and the God of peace start here with his directives. We can talk more about that if you like. And finally, signs. The further down this list we go, the more nervous I become and the more nervous you should become. People say God speaks to them from signs in the clouds. It looked like, okay. Or how about their coffee? Christina, you could really mess with people, couldn't you? The Lord speaks all day long through me, she says. No. You and I desperately want God to speak to us. But this is not where you want to be. How do I know that? Jesus said to his own generation, you people are way too infatuated with signs, and no sign's going to be given. Only this sign, you know, and sign, sign, sign. Don't go there. That is not what the Lord wants you to focus on. I don't mean that he might not send a sign, but as I said, it's way down the list, and it's going to be confirming what's up here, his word. Don't get it out of order. Oh, and by the way, absolutely, absolutely stay away from the netherworld. Palm reading, fortune telling, horoscopes. Don't walk, run. Remember the word about Saul? God put him to death because he sought counsel from a meeting. Don't even go close to that one, friends. Well, there's much more that could be said on this subject of listening for God to speak. We'll have to do that another day. This will have to do for today. But keep on, friends, keep on pressing in to our year verse. Speak, Lord. You can just emphasize each word as you speak that. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. I reaffirm you as Lord. Speak, Lord, because I'm listening. Your servant, yeah, you, me, yep, I got it, is listening. I'm listening with both ears. I'm listening with an intent and a purpose and a predisposition to obey. I got one last question. How does God not speak to us? How could things be so in our lives that He would refuse to speak to us? David the psalmist said it this, if I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'm asking the Lord to speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. But there's something over here, and I know about it. This is not go digging through your closet, and I don't know. No, this is when I cherish iniquity. I know about this thing that's unpleasing to God. He's been pressing me on it, and I refuse to repent of it and do a 180. And if I go asking Him to speak, Lord, your servant is listening, with that going on, he didn't even hear that request, it says right here. And He surely isn't going to speak into a life that's high-handed, resisting Him. That's frightening. Let's pray together. Speak, Yahweh. Speak, Lord, because your servants, all of us here, are at your beck and call. We're your servants. We're your servants, not ours. We're your servants. And we are listening, we're taking notes, and we are ready to respond. And we remember that you promised that if we seek you with our whole heart, we will find you. So we ask you, Lord, with renewed determination, renewed circumspection of our hearts and lives, renewed recognition that you are the Lord Yahweh, the Eternal One, over all of everything, and we are the servant. We ask you to speak to us, Lord, because we're listening. Be pleased, Lord, to take us up on that. Be pleased to glorify yourselves through us. Be pleased to show us who you are in amazing ways. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.